Earl and the Horse. Earl was walking through the long woods on his way to surprise his grandmother. His mother had told him that he should go and spend several days with her and have fun, where he could look over the wide sea and breathe the salt air. He had not seen his grandmother for a long time, but he wanted to feed the birds and watch the seagulls with her. As he walked through the deep forest, he heard someone singing, and since it was lunchtime, Earl decided he would stop for a break. As the singing continued, he looked down a path to the left and saw a brightly colored wagon with a horse. A man was sitting on the steps of the wagon, and he was eating his lunch. He was dressed in bright colored clothing and a tall hat. The man looked up. He waved to Earl and said, "Hey there! Come on over here. I'm having some lunch. You can have some with me." Earl's stomach knew it was lunchtime, and Earl thought a visit was a good idea. The man seemed familiar to Earl, but he couldn't remember who he was. The man looked at Earl and said, "You look like you're hungry. How about a hot dog?" And with that, the man reached into the box next to him and pulled out a hot dog. He held it out to Earl. Earl was hungry, and though he had had a sandwich with him, the hot dog looked a lot better. "Yes," Earl said, "I'd love a hot dog." "Great," said the man, "and I bet a boy like you would also like some ketchup on it." The man reached into his box and brought out a big, beautiful bottle of red ketchup with a white label. "Would you like some ketchup?" said the man. "Yes," said Earl, "that'd be great." The man poured a generous portion of ketchup on the hot dog and handed it to Earl. It was hot to the touch. And Earl sat down and began to eat. And after a few bites, he said, "This is delicious. Thank you very much." "I made it myself," said the man, who was peering at Earl. "Don't I know you? I think I've seen you before." "I don't know," said Earl. "You look familiar, but I'm not sure where I've seen you. Do you live in the town next to the river?" "Yes," said Earl. "That's where I live. I'm on my way to visit my grandmother on the sea cliffs." "Ah," said the man. "Well, that's quite a journey from here. I'm not heading in that direction. I'm heading down towards the City of Smoke." "The City of Smoke," said Earl. "I've never been there." "Oh," said the man, "it's a wonderful place. They have tall buildings and lots of people. They have stores filled with food and stores filled with toys. People are happy to be there, and they see their friends every night eating wonderful food in different restaurants. No one cooks at all there because the food is given to them. You should come with me and visit the City of Smoke." Earl thinks about it and said, "No, I'm supposed to go visit my grandmother, and I probably should go there." "Ah," said the man, "maybe so, but it looks like you could use another hot dog. How about another one, lots of ketchup?" Earl had just finished his first hot dog, and it was good, so he said, "Yeah," and he had another one. The two of them talked. Earl described how he was going to spend time with his grandmother, feeding the birds and watching the ships, and the man with the hot dog kept talking about how great it was to go to the City of Smoke. Earl kept thinking how he knew this hot dog man, but he couldn't remember who he was. And by the time Earl finished his second hot dog, the sun was shining on him and it was warm. The grass felt soft where he was sitting, and he felt sleepy. The hot dog man noticed and said, "Why don't you take a nap? There's no sense being sleepy on your walk. You might get lost in the woods. You could stay right here. As a matter of fact, you can sleep in my wagon. I've got a nice, comfortable blanket. You could sleep on that." Earl did feel very sleepy and decided maybe just for a few minutes he would rest his weary eyes. So he climbed up on the wagon, lay down on the blanket, and fell fast asleep. When Earl woke up, he could hear the creaking of wheels and the plodding of the horse. At first he didn't know where he was, but then he remembered the hot dog man who had given him a big lunch. It certainly was comfortable in the wagon, but, oh my, he thought, he had slept longer than he expected, and he needed to get back on the path to his grandmother's house. He sat up and realized the wagon was moving. It was a covered wagon. He looked around the room, and there was a little window at the back where he could see through. The man in the shiny suit was sitting in front of the wagon, holding the reins on the horse and steering the horse along a path that Earl didn't recognize. Earl shouted out, "Hey, mister, I'm awake. I've finished my nap, and now I need to go and see my grandmother. Can you stop the wagon?" The man looked around and smiled at him and said, "Oh, I think it'd be better if we went to the City of Smoke. You can see your grandmother any time. But a chance to see the City of Smoke with me is not something that comes along very often." "No thanks," said Earl. "I'd like to see the City of Smoke, but I have to see my grandmother now. If you could just stop the wagon, I'd appreciate it." "Well," said the man, "we're not at a good stopping place here. Maybe in a few minutes." Earl thought that was silly. All he had to do was pull the reins and the horse would stop. But the wagon wasn't moving very fast, so Earl decided he would get to the edge of the wagon and maybe just jump off. As he stood up, he realized there was a rope tied around his ankle, and the rope went through the floor of the wagon and disappeared. As he took a step towards the back of the wagon, he realized he wouldn't be able to jump off the wagon because he was tied to the wagon. "Hey, mister, there's a rope around my ankle. Maybe you tied it so I wouldn't fall off when I was asleep, but it's time for me to go." He looked around and heard the man in the shiny suit say, "In just a few minutes, we'll stop. I can't quite hear you. Don't worry. Just sit down and take a rest. We're going to be stopping soon." Earl tried to undo the rope around his ankle, but it was woven into itself and he couldn't get it off. He didn't know how the fellow had put it on there while he was sleeping, but it wasn't going to come off easily. Since the man was going to stop soon, Earl sat back down and waited. A few minutes passed as the wagon creaked along, but then it began to slow down and stop. He heard the man get off his seat at the front. The door opened at the back of the wagon, and there was the man in the tall hat. Looking at him, Earl now knew who he was. He was the Spinmeister. "I know you," said the Earl. "You're the Spinmeister. You need to let me go. I need to go see my grandmother." "Oh," said the Spinmeister, "let's go to the City of Smoke first. I think you should come with me, especially since I'm not going to take the rope off your ankle. So when the wagon goes and the horse goes, you're going to go too." "But I don't want to go to the City of Smoke." "You don't want to go to the City of Smoke now, but when you get there, you'll like it. You need to let me go." "But I won't let you go," said the Spinmeister. "Not until you've seen the City of Smoke." "Well," said Earl, "I'm going to shout and make a ruckus." "You could," said the Spinmeister, "but we are in the deep woods, and the roads in the deep woods are twisty-turny, and even if I let you go, you wouldn't be able to find your way home. But I've been here before, so I know where they go, and the horse knows where they go, but you don't know which way goes home. So you'd be lost in the woods in a maze of different directions." "No," said the Spinmeister, "you should just be quiet and help feed the horse until we get to the City of Smoke, and then we can talk about it." "But I don't want to go to the City of Smoke," said Earl again. The Spinmeister nodded. "We can talk about that some more, but right now you need to help do some chores. And what I need you to do is bring some water to the horse and help me fill these bags of sand, which I need for the wagon to make sure the wheels don't lift off when we go around corners on some of the steep banks." "But I won't do that," said Earl. The Spinmeister nodded. He then said, "I have plenty for us to eat, so you won't get hungry. But that food is only for someone that helps. If you don't help, then I won't feed you, and then you'll get hungry. But you can choose. Call me if you want to help, and then have some food. I'm going to cook dinner." Earl decided he would not help, so he stayed in the wagon. But after a while, his stomach started making noises, and the noises it made started saying things to his head about how the stomach would like some dinner. After a little while longer, he called out to the Spinmeister that he would come out and help. He thought the Spinmeister would take the rope off his ankle, but instead, the Spinmeister just uncoiled more of the rope from under the wagon so that Earl could get out of the wagon and walk around near the wagon and the horse. But the rope stayed on his ankle, and it stayed tied to a ring on the wagon. Every day, Earl had to get up and take the bucket on the wagon and walk over as far as the rope would allow to fill the bucket with water and bring it back for the horse. He also had to feed the horse, and when they came near a river, the spinmeister made him take a bucket and fill it with sand and put it in a bag to weigh one side of the wagon or the other, because when the wagon went on a hillside, the wheels would lift off if he didn't have a bag of sand keeping it down. Although the spinmeister gave him food every day, he wouldn't talk about letting Earl go. And Earl realized that the spinmeister was right about the forest. The twisty turns of the road would be hard for him to remember, even if he got away. But as he thought about that, he came up with a plan. The next time that he took the bucket to fill it with sand, he made sure the sand was clean, smooth, and white. It was easy to put in the bucket, and he filled the bag up with a lot of sand. He then used a stick to poke a little hole in the bottom of the sandbag. Since the spinmeister wanted the sandbags around when there was a tilt in the road, the sandbags were tied to the side of the wagon. But now, with a little hole in the bag, when the wagon moved down the road, there was a little stream of yellow sand that leaked out of the bag and fell onto the dark red earth of the path behind them. Earl watched when they took a turn down a different path, and he saw that the little line of yellow sand would also take a turn, and it made a trail back from where they came. It was a path home. But that didn't help Earl get free of the spinmeister, who kept talking about the city of smoke and what they would do there. But if he could get free, he could follow the trail of sand back to his grandmother. And now Earl just needed to get the rope off his ankle. In the afternoon, when he was giving the horse its hay and water one day, Earl saw how hungry the horse was. The horse was very hungry, and Earl patted the horse and thought about its sharp teeth and thought maybe that could help him. That evening, once again, the spinmeister cooked some hot dogs and took out his big bottle of ketchup and spread it all over the hot dog for Earl. Earl was about to take it, but asked the spinmeister if he could have extra ketchup, because it was so delicious. Since the spinmeister liked the ketchup himself, he gave an extra squirt of ketchup on the hot dog and handed it to Earl. Earl began to eat the hot dog, but when the spinmeister wasn't looking, he squeezed out some of the ketchup and spread it on his palm, and then he started rubbing the excess ketchup onto the rope that was tied to his ankle. Every time the spinmeister looked away, Earl took more ketchup and spread it on the rope. When dinner was over, Earl said that he would take some more water to the horse. He waited until the spinmeister was almost asleep. He then took the water bucket to the horse, and as he put the bucket in front of the horse, he let the horse smell the rope. The horse was very hungry, and he smelled the ketchup. And the horse started to nibble at the rope. Earl had slathered so much ketchup on it, the rope tasted mostly of ketchup, and the horse chewed away at it, trying to get as much of it as he could. Before long, the horse had chewed through the rope entirely, and Earl was free. Since the horse was just tied to a tree at night, Earl now waited until the spinmeister was sound asleep. He unhooked the horse from the rope around the tree, and together he walked it into the woods. He didn't know where he was going, but he could wait until the early morning sun rose and he could see the thin line of golden sand, and it would be long before the spinmeister would be awake. And as soon as the early light came up on the edge of the sky, Earl and the horse began to walk back, following the twisting little line of sand back in the direction they had come. Sometime later that morning, the spinmeister was stretching, thinking it was a fine, quiet morning. He wondered why the boy wasn't up and making noises, but he remembered that he was up late tending to the horse. As he looked around, he couldn't see the horse. He jumped up and shouted out for the boy. There was no answer. He ran to the wagon, pulled on the rope that was attached to the boy's ankle, but this time there was nothing tied to the rope. And as he looked around, there was also no horse. The spinmeister then became mad and started stamping around the wagon. Where had the boy gone with his horse, he wanted to know. He didn't notice the fine line of sand that led back into the forest, and by that time anyway, Earl and the horse had traveled many miles back along the path. Earl knew that without the horse, the spinmeister would have to choose whether to leave his nice wagon and either walk forward or walk back along the path. He wouldn't know what Earl had made the sand path to find his way home. And it took Earl and the horse all of a full day to get back to where they had first met. Earl let the horse go free then, and once on the familiar road to his grandmother's house, Earl walked as fast as he could to see his grandmother and tell her what had happened. The end.